Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We were kicking around tonight a thought that I hate talking about this because it feels so anti-sports. Like, it feels so anti what we all believe in when it comes to sports, which is the idea if the Browns are probably might be better off losing this game. And if you want them to lose it because it means that the draft position will be better and they could go get Fernando Mendoza or they could go get Ty Simpson or Moore from Oregon, whose first name I can't remember right now because I'm a ding-dong.
Dante.
Thank you. And so if maybe you want them, or as Anthony brought up, the really good point, if you want Kevin Stefanski out the window and to move on from him, a loss may get you closer to that. I can't believe we are having this conversation.
I guess just like winning is just a different form to a lesser extent of the Mike Tomlin argument. Like everybody in Pittsburgh right now wants the Steelers to totally tank out so that they can just get rid of Mike Tomlin and move on to something else. Now, we're not talking about getting to 9-8. We're talking about getting to 5-12. Hey, now, but
a well-earned 5-12.
So that's the argument that we're having. It kind of makes sense to me, though, because going into that Dolphins game, we were really starting to hear things about like
it's getting loud.
Hey, if they lose this game, you know, Jim Schwartz is going to be your interim head coach come Monday morning. And then they went out and blew him out, I guess. And then
the defense had a heck of a performance.
Right.
And the offense. Whew.
So
no one treaded water with water wings on quite like that offense did that day.
So the only like other game that hasn't gone that way is the Jets game. And after that game, everybody wanted everybody fired to begin with. So, I mean, that was, you know, no different than any other loss that we would have had. So that's why I kind of feel like going into this game, like, wouldn't it really suck if you had the number two pick? You probably had the opportunity at some form or fashion to trade up with Tennessee to get Cam Ward, and he goes out and actually plays somewhat well, or the offense runs just well enough that they can beat you and your defense isn't able to get to him. That would be a real indictment on just this whole thing and how we've all gone wrong and how our fifth round quarterback that everybody wanted at number two overall just is, you know, continues to have the lowest EPA out of any starting quarterback. Like how much more of an indictment would you need to have that this is just not working?
I agree with you.
Thank you.
I do. I agree with you. And I think they need to win this game because they need to build forward and you need to have some kind of building blocks. And the start of those building blocks is winning the games that you should win. And this is a game they should win. Their defense should win this game. Cam Ward has not been good. Now, he will have 2 to 3 throws, maybe 4 throws in this game where you're going to go, damn, okay, look at you, Cam. Like, he's going to have those throws. He is also going to have 3 or 4 throws where you're wondering if he put his head on a baseball bat and spun around 50 times and then decided to throw the ball. Like, he will also have those as well. And so I am with you. I think you need, if you want to be in a position where the arrow is starting to point up, I think you need to look to win this game. Dom is in Cleveland. Welcome, Don.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Good. So your question, you know, do you kind of want them to lose this week? I don't, but it's understandable that for those that do, and I, in a way, would be okay with it based upon all the things you just said. And I'm going to go back to two things. When was the last time that this team had a really good first two, three rounds of a draft? Recent. I'm not talking 60s, 70s. I'm talking recent memory.
March. It would be March, and then before that, maybe the Joe Thomas draft?
Baker draft worked out. You got Denzel Ward and Baker.
Yeah, you know what? That'd be your answer, Don. Probably the Baker draft. He's right.
So that is the answer. It's not March because you can't judge it quite yet. You got another year or two to judge this draft.
That's true.
Now in hindsight, Dorsey's draft in 2018 was an awesome draft. Those first three rounds, he almost picked, you know, I mean, Chubb probably would have went to the Hall of Fame if he got hurt. But anyways, so that's the last time. Well, how were we able to do that? What were the two seasons before that like? They were horrible. How many games did we win? One game?
Mm-hmm. They were horrendous.
The only reason you were in the position to make those picks, because I think Ward was an extra pick, wasn't he?
Yes, they traded. Who did they trade with? I can't remember who they traded with, but I know they traded down
Yeah, they took Baker at one and Ward at four. Yeah. And it turned out Ward's awesome. Ward's arguably Hall of Fame talent, and Baker's really good now. And he was pretty good before. My point being, that's how you get through this muck, because that's the muck we had before, right? We were 1-31. How do we get out of it? We need picks. You need to do it through the draft. And the only thing you mentioned that's kind of triggered my call was Mike Tomlin. I've been on the anti-Mike Tomlin train for 10 years. Mike Tomlin is extremely overrated. He's not an X and O guy. He's just an intensity rah-rah guy.
Serious culture guy who has done he's done a really good job taking massive personalities and making it so that they like can all function together. I give him a ton of credit for that.
Yeah, but we forget about how dysfunctional it was when Antonio Brian and Le'Veon Bell. They had some troublesome years.
Oh, gotcha.
My point being is you said you brought him up. I'm going to harp on it. He's just overrated. That whole 500 record, who cares? You could take like 18 of those wins against the Browns and like probably another 10 against the Bengals. They were two of the worst teams in the NFL at the time. So like he padded that whole, you know, record thing. But he's not an X and O guy. And I know a lot of Pittsburgh fans. They're diehard Pittsburgh fans. And they don't think that much of him. Yeah, it was great when they had Big Ben. But that's why he won games, because he had a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Appreciate it, Don. The thing, though, but this is back to why I think they need to win the Tennessee game is partially Mike Tomlin. And that argument, this is how you establish culture. This is how you establish winning. And the one thing that Mike Tomlin does really well is he wins the games he should win. Yeah, you could throw out those 15 Browns games every year. Yeah, you could throw out those 10 Bengals games. But boy, I've watched with the Green Bay Packers this year. I mean, they walked into that Cleveland game and it seemed like they got punched in the mouth. Mm. Then they had that Panthers game. And it almost looked like they were more prepared for the Eagles to come, and they overlooked the Panthers and got punched in the mouth.
Right.
You got to win those games. Those are the games on the schedule. You have to win them. And it's one thing Mike Tomlin has done really, really well, and the Browns need to get to that point. I don't think Mike Tomlin loses that Jet game if he's the head coach here. Why? Because you've established a culture of winning. This is what we do. We overlook no one. And that Jet game is the one that will forever leave the horrendous taste in my mouth on all of the troubles that this team has had. So that's why I think you need to win this. And Kevin Stefanski needs you to win this. And frankly, Jimmy Haslam and anybody who wears brown and orange needs to win this game more than having the draft pick themselves.
So I'm going to ask you to live in like hypothetical land for a second here.
Favorite land on this earth. Let's go.
Let's say they win this game on Sunday.
Love it.
And then you have the Bears, Bills, Steelers, Bengals, and they lose out. Maybe they'll win one of those games. So they end the year 5-12. How are you going to feel at the end of the year if they win this Titans game?
So I'm grading on a curve. Because the way that I've been looking at this season is, again, the goal of anybody who listens to the show, so sick and tired of me saying this. The goal of 2026 season is to find out, or the 25-26 season, is to find out if the starting quarterback of the future is on the roster or in the draft. And if I walk out with that answer, this season's a success. If that answer is a flat out yes, it's Shedeur Sanders. Great. season success. Well done, everyone. Hang a banner. We found the quarterback. Hang it up. You can hang it high every single place that we possibly can. You can put it from the stadium, have it blow in the wind as it comes off the lake. That's the goal. So if they come back and say Shedeur Sanders is the guy, boom, season success. If they come out and go Shedeur Sanders is not the guy, boom, season success. Well done, everyone. That has been my goal. So if we walk out in your hypothetical situation and they go 5-12 and we look at each other and go, hey, Shador's not the guy. Great success. Go get the quarterback in the draft. Let's go.
But then I would have much rather them lose this game so that they could be 4-13 and be a little bit higher up so that they can go get that quarterback with a little more ease.
But I got the Jags pick. I'm sitting on that Jags pick to begin with. I can move wherever I need to go to have two picks, because then I could turn to Tennessee, who already has a quarterback in Cam Ward, and they're not going to kick the can down the road on him. I could turn to the Jets, and I could say to them, you have ripped this thing down to the studs. You have nothing. Your offensive line is a mess. Your defensive line is a mess. Your secondary is a mess. You need everything that you can get to help you off the way. You know what would help that? If you had the third overall pick and then the 20 whatever the heck overall pick. Like, that's the highlight of having that extra Jags pick, is that I can turn around and I can get wherever I need to go if I think my quarterback of the future is sitting in this draft, and then I could go get it. That to me was the goal of the season. So if we walk out of it and let's say they go 5-12 and Shedeur is throwing for 275 and two touchdowns.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe a pick as well, but we're all looking at it going, okay, this is starting to look better. Success. That's it. The death of this organization is if we get done with this season and we're all looking at each other going, is he the guy? Is he not the guy? I like some things. He does push a ball down the field, but he doesn't read it the best. He's made some dumb decisions, but he's made that really nice throw. Like, that's where I don't want to be. I don't want to be in the gray.
So that's part of what I mean is, like, against the Raiders, we were all ready to be like, yeah, let's see him out this year. Let's see him out for, some people are saying, like, let's see him out for next year. And then they go play a real team in the 49ers, and he didn't look good, and they got blown out. So I'm just worried that that same, and again, look,
we're just going to ride the coaster.
Like, I agree with the premise of this whole argument that this sucks. I just want to root for them to win.
Yes.
And like, oh my God, we can still go get, you know, we can get to 8 wins somehow this year if they win out, or 7-10. That would be a massive success of the year. Like, that's, you know, the prognosticators at the beginning of the year saying 7 wins, everybody's calling them crazy. I just don't want it to be that Shedeur looks really good or good enough against the Titans and then sucks against the Bengals, against the Bills and the Bears. And then we just are left with, like, I don't know, because then that
would you be, I don't know.
Yeah.
Would you?
I think so. Well, I think the fans would be.
Would they?
Yes. Because that a lot of people looked really glowingly at that Raiders game. Like, hey, he pushed the ball down the field. Remember that one throw to Isaiah Bond?
It was a nice
and
throw.
And everybody bought back into it.
Nice
and
throw.
Then he went out and looked like he did against the 49ers.
Yeah, he looked poor.
So
he played a poor game. He missed receivers. He was confused by what Robert Saleh was doing, and Robert Saleh wasn't doing anything that was way over his head.
And as you mentioned before in the show, the Titans are bad. The Titans' defense is not good. Yes. So, and that's putting it lightly for them. So I would expect him to come out and look a little bit better than the game manager that he was last week. I'm just fearful that I hate this whole argument.
But it gets us to an argument that I really want to get into. And something that's really interesting that I have been thinking about, which is what do we want to see from Shedeur Sanders this week? And what do we want to see from him the rest of the season? Because I think that is the fascinating question, because again, I don't want to be in the gray. I want to live in a world where we have a black and white answer, where it's like, it's either, yes, he is the quarterback of the future, and here's the three reasons why. No, he is not the quarterback of the future, and he is the three reasons why. And I want to dive into that,
because some Browns news, Michael Marcotch,
right,
what there
we is
the true
here?
Crux of where this season is going.
This is from ESPN's Daniel Oyafusi. Mason Graham, who was limited yesterday with an injury, he was not seen during the public viewing period at practice today. Jack Conklin, Wyatt Teller, Aiden Huntington, and Brendan Bates remain sidelined. Obviously, Wyatt Teller already out for this week. Devin Bush and Dylan Sampson did return to practice today.
Ooh.
Yay.
Mason Graham not being out there, that's concerning. Did they mention what he was out with? I might have missed that.
So they said yesterday he was limited with a ribs injury.
With ribs.
And then he was not seen during the public period today.
That's not good. You don't like that with ribs. Because so, the problem with a rib injury is, if anybody who has ever had it, I know we don't do the whole thing of I compare myself to professional athletes. Because trust me, if you've ever seen me, not a professional athlete, professional watcher of athlete. So the one thing though, man, if you've ever hurt your ribs, existence hurts. Like if you've ever cracked a rib, like legitimately being alive hurts. Because breathing hurts, walking hurts, steps hurt, all of that kind of stuff. Now the highlight is they do have the magic needle in the NFL that makes the pain magically go away.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when Jared Allen had the ribs injury and everybody was like bitching at him for being soft, and then it came out that he was like, oh, he can't even breathe properly?
Yeah.
Like he was...
And that was one of those fine moments of, I'll never forget being on here and taking calls at that whole thing of people going, Jared Allen is soft. And then people, you knew who had cracked a rib at some point in their life, because the people who had cracked a rib were the ones going, actually, I don't blame them.
I remember in youth football, I took a face mask right to the ribs from a guy that was like twice my size as a running back. And it was one of the worst pains that I've ever gone through.
Well, hopefully we'll keep you up to date on anything else. Again, Kevin Stefanski going to give us the official who is in and out, at least as a Friday active, inactive list taking place. It'll be at about, again, 105, 110, somewhere in between that area. He will address the media. We'll carry that for you live right here on your home of the Browns, 92.3 The Fan. We were getting into Shedeur Sanders, and the big part of this, which is what do you need to see from him this week, and what do you need to see from him the rest of the season? And my whole thought with it is, you know, of course, we all want to see him play well. Yes, we get that. My whole philosophy with this is I want to see either A, can you be the starting quarterback going into next season? Or B, are you not the starting quarterback going into next season? I don't want to live in the gray, because the gray is what gets you in trouble, because the gray is what clouds your ability to actually go forward with as an organization when you're sitting there playing the maybe game. Well, maybe he could do it. I don't know if he can do it. You need a black and white answer. To me, again, the goal of the 2025 season is to find out if the future quarterback of 2026 is either on the roster or sitting in the draft. If they come out with that answer being yes or no, the season's a success. So what do you want to see from Shedeur Sanders?
So here's what I've been saying. And I think last Saturday I was on and I said this as well, that I need to see from Shedeur. And you tell me whether or not this is in the gray. I need him to be a game manager. I need to understand that I can trust him to be a backup quarterback, to where when our starter, whether it's Fernando Mendoza goes down or it's Mac Jones or Daniel Jones goes down, he can come in and run the offense efficiently and he looks like he's progressing. Let me know if that's in the gray, because that's what I need to see from him. Because what we didn't see from Dillon Gabriel was that he could efficiently run the offense as a game manager. Well, you're a fifth-round quarterback with a lot of physical and physical limitations and limitations against the different NFL defenses.
Yeah.
I need to see that you're able to run the offense on time. Like, keep the train on the tracks, move the ball forward.
Because of the first thing you said, that is a perfect answer, which is to find out if he is a backup quarterback. Because what does that tell me? He is not the starter going into 2026 season.
Okay.
That is the answer. Like, and I'm still in this place with Shedeur Sanders where it's a little bit in the gray. I, at least as of right now, and again, we're two starts in. This will be start three. He will go up against the defense. He should be able to, you know, get some numbers on and look pretty good and complete some throws and work out a structure. Just stay away from Jeffrey Simmons. Like, he'll be able to work on those things, and I want to see what it looks like here, because you could beat up on the easy teams. You could start to establish a culture that moves a little bit like we beat up on the teams we should beat, and I could get further answer when it comes to the quarterback. Terry is in Euclid. Welcome to the show, Terry. How are you?
Good, man. I mean, what's going on here? This guy's in two starts, and we're already saying he's a backup quarterback. He doesn't know.
No, Terry.
Give him an opportunity. Wait a minute, let me finish. Give him an opportunity with good receivers. First of all, when you saw Flacco in those first couple games, he had a lot of receivers open, and he saw them, but he didn't throw the ball because he didn't trust them. And we have to get good receivers that know how to run routes, know how to catch the ball, and also, you know, just the offensive line too. They got to give them some time.
Well,
so let's not start this Mendoza and everything. I'm not ready to draft a quarterback with the number one.
So Terry,
you're that right now.
You're misunderstanding me. That's the only problem. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I want clarity. That's really all I am asking of Shedeur Sanders, is give me clarity. That's it. I want him to be awesome because I want the Browns to have a quarterback. Like, badly. I am so tired of wandering the wilderness, man.
Like, I get you. Let me ask you this question, though.
Sure.
What did you see out of him in the first two games?
He was a rookie quarterback.
You know what? That's a hell of a way to put it.
He was a fifth-round rookie quarterback with physical limitations that doesn't know how to read a defense.
I agree with that. But this is the thing you guys are missing. That game last week, if you notice, San Francisco didn't throw the ball down the field either.
Yeah,
the wind was swirling. I don't know if you
That wind was wicked. You're right.
When you go up in the stand, like in the back of the stands, that wind was whipping through those halls. So you can't really judge him on that right now. And then also, get him a receiver that he can depend on. He had receivers he could depend on in his college career. He's got no receivers right now that he can depend on.
I agree.
I mean, he's also playing against Central Florida cornerbacks who are now selling insurance.
Well, but this is the thing where I agree with Terry, is he's right. He's right. See, notice this, Terry. We come in here yelling at each other. We're all on the same page. This makes sense. We won't out you on that yet. But, like, look, I am with you because Jerry Jeudy is not that guy. Harold Fannin is probably the closest thing he has to it. But the problem is, Terry, is that if I'm walking out, I need to make a decision at the end of the season, and I'm not going to have that receiver by the end of the season. And I don't want to roll it into next year. That's my fear, man.
Great. Tell me what quarterback you can say is definitely the number one pick for next year.
Fernando Mendoza.
One quarterback. Mendoza is not that. He's not the guy. Come on, man. He's not number one. That's not according to all the draft experts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He's the Dame Brugler.
To me, and everybody takes this, and Terry, I appreciate the call, man. Enjoy the rest of the holidays. He's Kirk Cousins to me, and that's not meant to be an insult to him, in that he is more mobile than you think. He's got a stronger arm than you think. He can process quickly. And if everything around Fernando Mendoza is working well, Fernando Mendoza will go nuts. Mm. And he'll score points. And he'll cook. And if you need proof of that, go pull up some of those years of Kirk Cousins with the Minnesota Vikings when he was throwing to Diggs and Thielen. Like, those offenses cooked. And that's the thing. But if that boat starts taking on water, I don't know if Fernando Mendoza can cover the cracks. That's the only thing that I feel with Fernando Mendoza. At least watching him at Indiana.
Terry, where do you think the wide receiver is going to magically appear? Where do you think these... Joe Thomas isn't coming out of retirement to come back. Like, we don't have Trent Williams on this roster. Those guys are not going to be here until next August. And by then, Shedeur Sanders doesn't have the opportunity anymore because you have two first-round picks. That's just the situation that he was thrown into. If the guy wanted to start, if the guy wanted to be in a situation where he had weapons and that one day he could be able to, you know, flash everything so that we could just throw out all these excuses, then he shouldn't have told the Baltimore Ravens no.
Well, there's all that stuff that goes with it, but that plays into what James from Akron is going to say here. How are you, James?
Well, you know, a couple of things. First of all, I want to get rid of the coach. Now, to me, here's the problem the coach had. The coach had already made up his mind. He didn't want Flacco. He had already made up his mind who was going to be his starting quarterback. That was the problem. And he fought like hell.
James.
Not to give Sanders a shot. Yes, you want to ask the question. Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is we don't know that. We flat out don't know that.
All you have to do is look at what he did. Look at what he did.
He started Joe Flacco, and then they traded Joe Flacco away from him.
Yes, but Gabriel had more snaps than Flacco.
Right, because they took him in the third round.
Yeah, okay, well, then if you thought Flacco was going to be your quarterback, you would have gave him some snaps. And you didn't do it.
Well, you did give him to Flacco. You spread him all over the place. Look,
and you're going to hang up on me because I'm going to tell you this right now. Right now, what the Browns need is I'm not upset with the coach because he had made a decision that he wanted Gabriel to be his quarterback, and that was his thing, and he thought it would work, and it didn't work. He wasn't man enough to get him out of there after six games. We're going to say five, but he played six games. He should have been out of there after two. Now, if you look at the Browns' last two losses, the loss last week, special teams lost that game.
Agreed.
Special teams lost it. Our special teams have lost the last two games. If you take away the special teams play, we won. We beat San Francisco. If you take away that. But, I mean, if you want to just say Sanders can't do it, well, you can say Sanders can't do it. But Sanders have proven every opportunity that they've given him these last two games, you can be angry about it all you want, but he played well. In both of the last two games, he did nothing to lose the game.
James, I'm not angry, first and foremost. We're talking about sports, man. It takes a lot to get me grumpy when it comes to sports. The only time I really ever get mad is when people are rude.
You're not angry, but I'm saying people out there are angry about this. They want to get rid of the coach. Here's the only two things the coach did wrong. The coach wasn't man enough to stand up and say, hey, I picked the wrong guy for quarterback, and I'm the coach, and I'm trying to win this, make this thing work.
James,
He didn't do that. That was the problem with the coach.
I appreciate the call.
With the coach.
Appreciate the call, man. Look, this is the problem. The Browns operate like Area 51. We have no idea what is taking place behind the curtain. Okay? They will not tell us at any point what is taking place behind the curtain. I have no idea who belongs to whom and which idea is there. Right? I have no idea if Kevin Stefanski was the one banging the table saying, I want Dylan Gabriel, I want Dylan Gabriel, I want Dylan Gabriel. We all kind of thought that because he was a fast processor and he kind of fit what Kevin Stefanski wanted to do. But that's a thought, right? We don't know anything because they are Area 51. And if there was even the slightest tinge of transparency, we would probably all feel better about which direction this is going if they gave us even a little bit of transparency.
They don't give you anything, though.
They give you nothing. So that's where part of the problem of this lies. For all we know, Kevin Stefanski could have been the one slamming the table going, I want Kenny Pickett to be my starter. And I want Kenny Pickett because I think I can turn him into Sam Darnold. We don't know that.
You know what would be the funniest? Like when they do the autopsy article on it, like if everybody gets fired. Oh, God,
the Seth Wickersham piece where, you know, everybody in the building opens their mouths.
Right. Yeah. The funniest thing would
be. We know it's coming.
If Kevin Stefanski was the one pounding the table for Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
And all you people saying that he was sabotaging him was like, no,
no,
that is not the case.
I wanted him from Jump Street. That's the problem with this. We have no idea. There is no transparency that has come from any of these things. So all I can tell you is what coaches I have talked to on the air have always told me, which is that coaches love veterans because veterans understand how the league works and veterans have institutional knowledge to execute what the playbook says. Mm. If that is the case, then I don't think Kevin Stefanski wanted Dylan Gabriel on the field.
No.
And I don't think he wanted Shedeur Sanders on the field. If we go off of that knowledge, the two quarterbacks he wanted on the field are not on the roster. So what does that tell you? Now, again, that's working off institutional knowledge. I don't know. I don't know. So telling me anything about sabotage taking place of either of these quarterbacks is mindless.
I'm sorry for yelling earlier.
You're fine. I
just get very upset when people are making every single excuse for Shedeur Sanders other than the fact that, like, maybe the kid's just not that good at this point in time.
He can always get better. He's a rookie quarterback. Let's get to things important. The legend. Tim May. You can hear him on the Tim May podcast with Clay Hall. Tim, how are you, buddy? Good to talk to you.
I'm doing extremely well. Matter of fact, I'm sitting in the FanStream Sports Studios as we speak. We've had a little bit of a snafu in our production. By the way, so I'm just on pause here. Number two, Chris Henry has recommitted, has re-upped, whatever you call it, has recommitted his commitment to Ohio State. So
See, now why in the hell didn't he do that on the Tim May podcast with Clay Hall? Like, that's my question. He should have been on there with you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's really funny because Pat McAfee was one of the many people who jumped at the report earlier on Wednesday that he was sticking with his commitment to Ohio State. And in fact, Chris Henry himself had to put out a statement going, I haven't signed with anybody. I'm paraphrasing, re-exploring my options, basically based on the news that Brian Hartline had taken the head coaching job at South Florida. So everybody had to kind of do a homina, 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 and step back from that. And so we'll see where it goes. By the way, I found the best place for those blow-ups. You were talking about a blow-up, one of those blow-up things you put in your yard.
But no, it's a solid one because the blow-up ones blow all over the place, and then they get exactly. holes in them, so I gave up.
Yeah, I found a good place for those, which is in a box in my garage, which I haven't opened now for 15 years. I went blow up heavy one year, and it was pretty cool until it rained and then the wind blew, and the rain softens the ground, and the stakes come right out. And the next thing you know, you're in your neighbor's yard going, excuse me.
Pardon me, can you open the gate? I have to go get my snowman.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, you old building and loan.
All right, so help me out here because I don't do well with National Recruiting Day. My brain can't handle it. How big of a deal is this Henry signing?
It's huge. I mean, he's the Jeremiah Smith of the 2026 recruiting cycle. And, you know, Cornell Tate was sort of the Jeremiah Smith of the, what was it, 2024 cycle, whatever it was, when he showed up at Ohio State. And now Jeremiah Smith, you know, everything's going to be measured by Jeremiah Smith henceforth, as you well know, but it's huge. And it kind of rounds out puts Ohio State's recruiting class pretty much back to where it was going into signing day. I mean, they had one or two defections, but they also got a couple of guys, Flip And so I think Ohio State feels pretty good about his 2026 class as we speak.
Tim, I have a simple question for you. Ohio State's going to win this game, right, tomorrow?
They're favored, but only by like 3, 2.5 points. So, I mean, I think Ohio State holds sway, but this is the best team they've faced by far this season. So who knows how it's really going to come down. But I do like Ohio State. I think Ohio State is, of these two teams, Ohio State is the better team. But there's no doubting that Indiana's better than it was last year.
All right, buddy, we got multiple reports coming in here that Penn State is in the final stages of negotiation to make Iowa State Matt Campbell its new head coach. What do you think of that hire?
Good for them. Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's like, you know, most of us are sitting here scratching our head. They were the first one really in the pool, weren't they, when it came to big-time jobs being open, thinking they're going to get a head start and all this kind of stuff. There's no way as we sit here now that Matt Campbell – well, maybe I'm wrong. They may say he was their number one choice all along. I mean, the guy has been rumored for quite a few jobs over the years, as you well know, including at Michigan, or at least being Michigan maybe seeking him out, maybe even Notre Dame a few years ago, right on down the line. But I think he's a hell of a coach. I mean, I really like him as a person. Obviously, where he cut his teeth in coaching was here in the state of Ohio. But yeah, that's a good hire. But, man, is it late to the party?
See, that's the funny part is I don't know how late to the party it really is, Tim, because we know how this stuff goes. The portal has become so important at this point that, I mean, goodness, I bet you we'll get a chunk of Iowa State guys finding their way there, and I bet you there's some level of financial commitment that's followed him coming in too to Penn State that I don't know how late this might be.
Yeah, I'm with you. I understand what you're thinking there.
Might be what I'm spelling.
Are you going to win the Big Ten with a bunch of Iowa State transfers going there? Now you can throw that back in my face. Well, look what Kurt Cicchetti did with a bunch of James Madison transfers.
God, it's like we talk to each other every week.
Yeah, that's a total different can of worms. What Kurt Cicchetti's all about? You know, who knows? All I know is signing day. Here we are 2 days after signing day, and they did not have a head coach. I'm talking about Penn State, and they still haven't hired him. So you got that, throwing in there. There's one portal window, and that's coming up at the beginning of January, and that's the portal. That's where you get the chance to add somebody in the portal this year. So you've already missed out on maybe trying to keep a class together. If you'd known he was going to be your guy, why didn't you name him Sunday after the regular season was over? So yeah, I don't think he's been handled very well because. Clearly, a lot of places turned them down, it appears to me.
Tim, you mentioned Brian Hartline earlier. How big of a loss is he actually to Ohio State, and who are some of the guys that they might be looking at to replace him as offensive coordinator?
Okay, I don't have a list of guys in terms of offensive coordinator right now. Ryan Day's not even broaching that for the most part. You heard what Mark Pantone said on signing day, the Ohio State's general manager. He goes, you know, he's sure that Ryan Day's call list of at least agents for actual coaches who want to be the next offensive coordinator and quarterback coach at Ohio State was already a mile long. I mean, they will replace him. I mean, we'll see which way he wants to go with this in terms of is he hiring an offensive coordinator / wide receiver coach or is he going to change up his staff a little bit, you know? I mean, he's done a really good job, in my opinion, in his last several hires of getting the right person at the right time. So we'll see where that goes. So I wouldn't even hazard a leading candidate at this point, although we do all know that Chip Kelly is available after getting fired by the Las Vegas Raiders a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, he was the offense coordinator at Ohio State when he went to the national championship last year. So we'll see what direction he goes, but I'm not even going to hazard a guess who would be at the top of that list.
The legend Tim May joining us. You can listen to him.
But there was a second part to that question, which I wasn't even paying attention to. Sorry.
It was basically how big of a loss for Ohio State is it?
It's a big loss, but you know the whole idea, like Ryan Day will be the first to tell you. And I'm just not trying to parrot Ryan Day, but it's true. You get in his profession. Most guys get in the profession and become a head coach eventually. So you got to think everybody on your staff sitting there on your staff today, unless they have
a contractual obligation that would prevent it is seeking to become a head coach at some point in their career. And there are some talented guys on this staff at Ohio State right now. So we'll see where that goes. But it is a loss because he had developed such a grand reputation. Now, the Ohio State receiver corps, if you look back through history, especially going back to when I first started covering Ohio State back in 1984, which is when a guy named Chris Carter was a freshman wide receiver, almost since 84, they've had one, two, sometimes three or four super stud wide receivers on their roster at most times. And I'm sure that will carry on. I mean, we saw what Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, that group did. We saw what the three amigos, even before that, who stayed at Ohio State for a long time, you know, Paris Campbell, Terry McLaurin, and, you know, and then, of course, we saw Michael Thomas before that, just right on down the line, Santonio Holmes, Anthony Gonzalez. I could name 50 guys, Terry Glenn, Joey Galloway. It's a very long list. It didn't just start 7 years ago.
The legend Tim May joining us on the hotline. Of course, you can listen to the Tim May podcast with Clay Hall as well. All right, Tim, I am fascinated what Matt Patricia's defense is going to do to Fernando Mendoza and Kurt Cignetti and all of that stuff. What do you expect to see from Matt Patricia in this game to slow down that that Indiana offense?
They're going to keep on keeping on. I mean, the main thing you need to do with Indiana is definitely take away the run first. I know that that's cliche. That's coaching cliche 101. You learn that. And no turnovers. So you learn that the first day of coaching 101. But they definitely, if they can somehow or another neutralize Indiana's run game and take away a lot of the perceived threat of an RPO, you know, run-pass option or play action, same thing, and make Mendoza pretty much have to throw the ball, that will go a long ways toward having him right in the palm of your hands. But Ohio State did a great job against Michigan's run game last week. And then we saw how I was going to say use the word putrid. Yeah, I'll use the word putrid, how putrid Michigan's passing game was. I mean, I'm still not clear what they were up to offensively last week, except when you took away their run game after a couple of three decent runs. Michigan had almost 0 yards, I think, in the second half in terms of total offense. They only ran 44 plays on offense. That's kind of hard to do, no matter what the level. But you got to start from the inside out. Yes, this is the best team Ohio State has faced this year in Indiana, and it's vice versa. Ohio State's going to be the best defense by far that Indiana has faced. So I expect them to continue to play sort of the mental games, but the main thing they've done, man, they've been very physical. Ohio State has on the defensive side of the ball. It's not just they're messing with your mind. You know, they start hitting at your body too as the game goes along. Arvell Reese once again stepped up, had a great game last week. Caden McDonald was just named the defensive lineman of the year in the Big Ten. Caden McDonald, wow, the year he's had is crazy. And of course, we know the defensive ends, Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry are playing at an extremely high level. So if those guys can hold sway and your two linebackers, sometimes three, with Peyton Pearson there, hold sway, I think Ohio State's feeling pretty good about itself. Now, they've got some threats at wide receiver, but the Surratt kid, for example, has been banged up here of late for Indiana. But the two Ohio State corners are playing extremely well.
You're the man, buddy. Thank you for joining, as always. Thank you for the insight.
Finally, it's declared. And by the way, comeback player of the year in my book, actually of the month, is Bernie Kosar, man.
Wow. Yeah.
What a story.
Yes. Good for BK.
Better. He looks so much better, you know, from that picture yesterday than he did 2 weeks ago. It's stunning what a new liver can do for you.
It really is, the way that he was able to turn around. And I mean, my goodness, good for BK. Thanks for pointing that out too, buddy. Take care of yourself. Enjoy every last bit of this game.
Talk to you guys next week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.